Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? This is the King of DC Media, William Powell. Welcome to another episode of Inside Acting, which is brought to you by DC Actors Examiner, most easily found by Googling DC Actors Examiner. Let me introduce my co-host,
Nadia Williams.
And tonight we've got local actor Dan Franco coming aboard. Before we get into that, Nadia, tell me what's going on in the news.
Well, Will, have you heard of this little documentary called Bully?
I have.
Well, then you'll know that there are some serious issues happening with the rating system for that film. And, you know, arguing with the MPAA's ratings board to get publicity for a movie is a stunt almost as old as the rating system itself. But last month, when Harvey Weinstein went to the mat over the R rating for the documentary, something felt kind of different. The board, for the first time, was outnumbered. Weinstein gathered dozens of stars, including Johnny Depp, Meryl Streep, Katy Perry, and the raters found themselves for the first time at odds with theater owners, who have traditionally been their staunchest allies. So, since the MPAA gave the documentary Bully an R rating, which really was only because the F word was used 6 times, Weinstein decided to release the documentary as unrated. Normally, this would mean movie houses would treat it like an NC-17, so which would exclude it from its most important audience, teens, who really should see this film. So instead, by the time Bully opened in limited release last weekend, 3 of the country's 4 largest theater chains had announced they'd handle the film with a more open-door policy, rated or not. So really, these 3 large theater chains were allowing people under the age of 18 to come in and see this movie, which had originally been rated R. And even after this week, after the controversy surrounding the R rating for Bully this week, the MPAA did finally grant it a PG-13 rating for removing 3 of the 6 F words.
Wow.
I mean, this, you know, the MPAA rating system, it seems like it needs an overhaul.
Yeah, I agree. I remember growing up in the 80s, what was it, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, the second Indiana Jones movie. They had this scene, right, and this guy, he reaches in this dude's chest and pulls out his heart, his still beating heart. And it just freaked everybody out, and they rated it. It was one of the first PG-13 rated films. And it's just crazy. And then late 90s, you had, was Austin Powers. A lot of those were, was it PG-13? But then you had some films that had F words. There used to be an F word. One F word used to get you an R.
Right.
I can remember one F word got you an R. Yeah, now it's really insane.
It's an old system, and, you know, I think it really leans a lot more to the right, and it's really worried about all these very conservative parents that are having an issue with nudity and bad words, but they don't care that much if there's violence in the film.
Yeah, it's getting out of control. Well, I see that Mr. Franco has joined us. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right.
Hey, Dan, long time no talk.
Absolutely. How you doing?
Doing well. I think the last time I got to see you was on the set of Click.
I think that's right. It's been about a month now.
Yeah.
So now, if I drop an F-bomb, is that going to blow your MPAA rating here too?
Don't do that to us.
Okay.
Well, it depends what scenes they choose, right, from what we filmed.
Right. And maybe we can get Mr. Weinstein to back us too.
So Dan, I wanted to ask, you know, how did you get involved with Studio Bill and with Ken?
With which?
Well, how did you get involved with Studio Bo and working with Ken?
Wow. Ken and I have been working together for probably a decade now. We both kind of started into the business around the same time and did a lot of extra work and a lot of things like that on West Wing and Cecil B. DeMented and a lot of, you know, we were always at the same auditions. We had the same manager. And just started eventually deciding to work together on projects. I think the first thing I worked with him on, you know, outside of being cast, you know, where I was brought into a project we were working on together was the Golden Tiki of Djibouti Booty, which we call Naked Man. And that was a 48-hour film project. And then we've been fairly consistently working together since then. So that's a good 7 years. And then
he
asked, I'm sorry.
Okay. So then he asked you to kind of help out at Studio Bow with Actors Club?
He launched Actors Club originally out of his basement. And then he went in on Studio 333, and that's when Actors Club kind of moved to Baltimore. And then when it went upstairs to Studio Bow, and ever since, you know, when he can't be there, I've been helping out, or, you know, when he's got an audition or a booking, I run class, and it's kind of, I'm the sidekick, I guess.
Enjoying that role?
I am. It's fulfilling, you know. It's like Sky High. I went to sidekick, hero support.
And how did you, like, generally get your start in acting in this area?
I've been acting as long as I can remember, really. I was in the plays in school, and I tried a bunch of times to get out of acting, but it kind of always pulled me back in. I originally went to college to be a sports journalist and took the acting classes just for comfort as far as being on camera and things like that, and then I just stuck right back into it. So, and I've pretty much been doing it since I got out of college, pursuing it as a side career. I have a day job, but I'm able to pursue acting on the side.
Dan, tell me a little bit more about Veep. I know it was a very popular project in this area, and I know that you had some lines. And tell me how it was working with Julia Marie Dreyfus.
That was amazing. I worked on Veep. I play a chief of staff to one of the senators, so she needs his support to get a bill passed. And so her staff is working with me, and then I get to work with her as well. The awesome thing was about a week before the shoot, I was called in to do a rehearsal, a table read and a blocking rehearsal, because my scenes kind of had some physical comedy involved, and they wanted to block it out. So, and I mean, you're watching Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who might as well, I mean, she's royalty as far as comedy.
Yeah.
She's an improv genius. It's Saturday Night Live and Seinfeld and New Adventures of Old Christy, all those things. And it is, you watch her and you just see how her brain works. I mean, she's instantly, you know, they do the read, which is as scripted, and they do the first block. They do the first blocking as scripted, and then they start playing. And she's making up just funny stuff. I mean, hilarious stuff on the spot, on the fly, throwing it away, changing it. I mean, she throws away probably funnier lines than any of us have ever come up with, you know. So it was amazing to be there and watch that process and kind of be privy to it.
Well, I mean, yeah, she's really, you're talking about TV history.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just been in so many great shows.
It's like Michael Jordan asking you to shoot horse, you know, like that's basically what it is. You're sitting there and you're like, okay, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut and watch.
I guess you probably had some big league nerves.
I did okay. I'll
tell the truth.
it was funny. I mean, it was kind of the opposite. It was one of those moments where, you know, you're sitting in a room And there's Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Anna Chlumsky and Matt Walsh, who you had on a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And Tony Hale from Arrested Development. And you're sitting there, and at first you're nervous, but then you realize, like, I'm the only person in this room who's not in here from L.A. That this is, you know, either these people, I've got them completely fooled, or I actually belong in the room. And it's that kind of calming moment, you know. It's kind of reassuring that, wow, I'm in this company. This is it kind of helps you to feel like you belong, you know.
Wow.
You worked hard to get there.
Definitely.
Talk a little bit more about the audition.
The audition was kind of funny. I came into the process late. I think I had seen everybody on Facebook and Twitter posting about their Veep auditions and this and that and the other, and I hadn't been called, so I figured the boat had sailed. And I get a call, and it was probably 3 weeks before it ended up going to air. So, I mean, we're talking really late in the process. And I go in, and they handed me 5 different roles to read for. Now, obviously, this is a cold read. So you're looking at – now, some of them ranged from one line up to about, you know, 3 to 4 or 5 lines. And,
okay.
So you're trying to absorb 5 characters and internalize it and, you know, kind of come up with a different read for each one. Then you get in the room, and then Pat kind of – she picked, I think, three or four of the 5 for me to read. And,
okay.
And so that was that day. And then about 4 days later, I got called in for the callback, which was huge. I mean, it was on a Saturday, which is hardly ever – you don't get a lot of weekend callbacks. And there were probably 50 people there. I mean, it was just flowing out into the hallway. Luckily, Ken was in Studio Bo. So it's kind of I went in there and kind of found my calm and ran the lines out loud. And that's one of the big things that, you know, we always stress at Actors Club is find a place just to get away from everybody that's sitting there reading the same lines and say them out loud. Because it sounds different coming out of your mouth than it does when you're sitting there in the chair kind of whispering it in your head.
Right.
So when the time came, I went in and I got called back for 3 of the 5 that I read. And then she had me read 2 of the 3. So and then I booked. It was funny, actually, because Armando Iannucci, he was the creator and the director, he was in the audition. And he comes from a... From what I can tell, he comes from a pretty good improv basis. He loves improv. So
I think he's from England.
Oh yeah, he comes from England, but he's big into improv. And so he had me read the first role and improv. After the lines ended, he kind of just started kicking me lines, and I was improvising back and forth with him. And then we read the other one, and that role. It was funny because that role required me to be sick, to have a cold, which at the time I had. So I felt very Dustin Hoffman, you know, Meisner method. you know, I went out and got a cold for my craft. So
nice.
So it worked. That's the role I ended up getting, and then we went on to, you know, the rehearsal in the next week, and then we shot the week after that.
Oh, wow. Dan, I think they could use you on your favorite team, the Capitals. I mean, you must have ice water in your veins. I mean, you're there if they created the show and you're going back and forth. I mean, that's quite a story.
It was crazy. You know, the first time I ever went into Pat's office, it was for some American Dream or American Teens. Or I don't even remember. It was 15 years or 12 years ago. And it's the first time there for an audition, and you have all that, you put all that pressure on yourself, and you walk in the room, and Tim Reed, you know, Venus Flytrap from WKRP, is sitting there in the room, and I just, my brain shut off. I was like, there's, Venus Flytrap is looking at me. What is going on here? He was a producer of the show, but it threw me pretty bad. So Luckily, it didn't happen this time.
And Dan, you were on The Wire too, right?
Yeah, season 4 of The Wire. I played a police officer that I take the mayor, who is now on Game of Thrones, Aidan Gillian, and I take him around, and me and John Ruckman are the two cops, and he goes for a ride along with us, and he's asking us how we would fix the city, and I tell him he should just air bomb the whole thing, and yeah, so those were my first spoken lines on television, so that was pretty cool.
Very different experience, Pat, right?
Yeah, also through Pat.
That's cool.
That was a very different experience from The Wire being shot here and then Veep. Because, you know, The Wire, it kind of felt like you were a guest on someone else's set. And the people at Veep did an amazing job of making you feel like you were part of the cast. And you were, you know, these are the stars, but you were inclusive of that. You were part of the whole thing that's going on.
Very cool. So what have been some of the most memorable characters that you've played, you think?
Well, right now I think it's going to be this one, from Veep. That was pretty crazy. And, they had the premiere last night in New York or 2 nights ago in New York, last night in DC, and it's killing me because I would love to know how the edit ended up figuring out how many of my scenes, you know, I have a feeling just based on the script that they should all make it in because they kind of lead up to a certain joke there's a payoff. So I'm hoping they all made it, but this is definitely one of my favorites. I love the character that I play in Click with your co-host here with you, Nadia. And, where Click is a web series that we're doing, Ken Arnold and Nadia and I, and then also Joe Hansard and Alexis Barone are the rest of our cast. And it's a kind of a short, funny sitcom, a 4-minute sitcom. It's spread out over 5 or 6 episodes for the initial batch.
Hmm.
And you're also producing that, correct?
I'm helping. Chris Mueller is the showrunner basically and the writer, and he's kind of coordinating all of that, and I'm helping him with that process. You can find that, by the way, at www.clicktheseries.com. Little plug action there.
Are you doing anything with House of Cards?
Not yet. I did audition, and that was hopefully that's another one of those ones that has a 3, 4, 5 season run and that opportunity comes. And that's the hard thing with those, you know, you with The Wire, I kept auditioning, and finally season 4 I made it in, and you have to kind of be patient and keep at it. You know, can't get frustrated because if the show's going to be here a while and you keep working at it, you'll get your shot.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. I got a call on House of Cards last week. It looked like I was going to get in there as a jogger. I was riding around with a jogging apparel in my car all day, but then I found out they had chosen somebody else late the night before. So I would have been a jogger. I don't know the scene or anything, but yeah, like I said, you just have to be patient. Just gotta hang in there.
Yeah, and that's the trick to the whole game in general is just having the patience. You know, a lot of people get frustrated and they bail on it. You know, when the breaks aren't going their way, and more often than not, they're not going to go your way. You know, so you have to have the patience and the belief in yourself and just kind of keep getting up off the ground and dusting yourself off and going back. And you keep at it long enough and eventually you'll hope, hopefully the odds turn.
You got to be your own biggest fan, really.
Definitely.
What else do you have you got coming up?
Right now, Click is it. And I'm really, you know, kind of what we talk about at the in Actors Club, or if you when you have Sean Pratt, they kind of talk about leveraging the projects you have going, you know, and trying to capitalize on those. So I'm really hoping to, you know, I've been doing a lot of mailings and a lot of letters and postcards, setting up, you know, letting people in New York and in Richmond and North Carolina know that you know, hey, I'm going to be on Veep and you know, here's the date and all those things. And so hopefully that opens some more doors for things to start really picking up.
Yeah, talk a little bit more about your marketing methods.
I'm probably not the best person to go into that. I pick Ken Arnold's brain a lot. He and Sean Pratt are kind of the go-tos. You just kind of have to. You know, there's a lot of tools at your disposal. Things on the web, the Dragon Up Connect and Actors Center and Now Casting and Actors Access and all those things. And you just really want to get into them and start, you know, seeing what's out there, putting your profiles together so that when the time does come, they're already there. You know, I have a website and blog just to have news out there and clips and in my resume, so that, you know, it's easy to send out instead of having to, you know, mail it. I can just email or tweet to a particular agent or casting director if the opportunity presents itself, and it's right there for them. So, you know, basically it's just like anything else. The easier you make it for them to find your information, the more likely they are to put the effort in. You know,
I saw your blog. You had like a review of Hunger Games.
Yeah, I try to make it a little personal as well. Which I love that movie. I like the books. I definitely enjoyed the movie, and that's one of my long term goals is to get a role in one of the sequels coming down the pipe.
Hmm.
You got to set goals for yourself. It's always healthy, you know.
So, Dan, can you speak a little to how you juggle, you know, full-time day job along with acting? Because I know you're SAG-AFTRA now, and a lot of people in this area, you know, it's kind of hard to do both. And what advice can you give them?
It is. I lucked out. I landed in this job basically it was a temp job that I had, you know, trying to keep the flexibility to be able to go to auditions and bookings and things like that. And when they hired me this is 10 years ago now, coming up in September, which is surreal that I've been working someplace for 10 years. But they knew that this was my hobby basically, or my side pursuit. And, it's just one of those things you have to be, you know, very economical with your leave usage. I'm a state employee, so I earn a good amount of leave, and I save it. You know, I roll a lot over from year to year, and I save it for those opportunities when I do have 2 or 3 days on set. So it's easy for me to put in. I don't have to juggle stuff. I have the leave, and I save it for when I need it. And I have bosses who are awesome about, you know, they're supportive of it, and they think it's a pretty cool thing, so they definitely work around those opportunities.
That's great. They get to say, hey, I know that guy, to all their friends.
Right.
So can you talk a little bit more about Actors Club for any listeners out there who aren't familiar with it?
Actors Club, it's basically like a gym. The idea was, you know, especially in this area, you know, this isn't New York or L.A. where a lot of times the actors can be career actors. You know, we do have our day jobs. We do have soccer and football and all the things that our kids are into that, you know, so the ability for actors in this area to get into a 10-week conservatory session where they're plunking down $400 and they might only make it to 3 classes, you know, that's not as easy of a thing here as it might be in New York or L.A. where they're able, you know, they're kind of in that, it's immersed in that lifestyle. So Actors Club, the idea was, you know, it's not, there's no commitment. You don't have to sign up for 10 weeks or 8 weeks or whatever it might be and be out all this money and then not be able to make it. You just pay when you come, you know, and, you know, Actors Club's like Fight Club, you know, the first time, don't talk about Actors Club, and first time out you have to act. So those are the first and second rules of Actors Club. And really, you know, it's just athletes have to work out, you know, acting is just like any other muscle. If you don't keep at it, your skills will atrophy and you'll lose that edge or that sharpness and that comfort. And you know, and being kind of the co-host of it, I don't work every week. You know, I'm not there always to work on stuff for myself. But even being there and working through things with the people who are there for class, I grow by engaging in what they're doing and giving feedback. You know, so even just being in that environment is healthy, and it's a good thing. You know, you need that as an actor. You know, that's the, you've got to get to a class. That's the first thing anybody that asks me, how do I get involved? And I say, get to a class. That's number one.
Yeah.
You know, even
absolutely.
When James Gandolfini and you know, you see these people win the Oscar, and one of the first people they thank is their acting coach. If they're still needing an acting coach, you think we don't? I mean, so that's pretty much all you need to know right there. And you can find Actors Club on Facebook. It's facebook.com/actorsclub. And they meet every Tuesday at 7 o'clock in the Broom Factory, 2 doors down from Pat Moran casting.
Sometimes there are some great guests in there, right, that work with Pat. So it's a great app for actors. All right,
definitely.
Well,
I'm sorry.
We're running out of time. We got 2 minutes. Briefly talk about, what do you think about this whole SAG-AFTRA merger?
I love it. I kind of gambled that it would happen. It was so close the last time. So I held off on joining AFTRA and figured this day was eventually coming. And, you know, and that was, all these shows started going to AFTRA contract after the last negotiation. So it was kind of stressing me out because I couldn't audition for, well, I mean, America's Most Wanted was always AFTRA, but, you know, Blue Bloods up in New York was AFTRA, and all these other shows are going AFTRA, and I was hoping it would come eventually, and it did, and I think it's a great thing. You know, we as a union are twice as strong as we were before. They can't play us against each other and, you know, get one decay before the other. So it's good for all of us. I don't know why there was such opposition to it.
Dan, we're going to have to wrap up.
Okay.
And just want to thank you for coming on the show. You've been a fantastic guest. Man, we'll have you on again sometime.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me.
Okay.
Dan, see you soon.
Okay, have a great night. All right.
You too.
And well, that's about all the time Nadia and I have. I just want to make a quick announcement. See, next week we've got a couple shows coming up. I've got wrestler and actor Rick Drayson. And later on that night, I got Dominique Spencer, who is a local actor, and magician and director Sean Anthony's coming on next week as well. So I just want to tell all my listeners out there to do something for your career every day and break a leg.